This is the safe point. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da. Yeah. Yeah. This is episode 48 of The Safe Point. I'm one of your hosts, Mondo, a.k.a. Chocolate the Mongo, and I'm joined, as always, by my lovely co-host, Alyssa Rosa. What's up, Alyssa?
What's up? How you doing?
Not much. We had a really awesome guest for the episode today. For all of our anime fans, specifically Demon Slayer, Tokyo Revengers, Dororidoro, or video game fans, Astral Chain, Final Fantasy VII, God of War, Ragnarok, though, so gotta wait.
Soon cometh.
We had the pleasure of having voice actor Alex Lee on the podcast today. He voices Zenitsu from Demon Slayer, Kaimen from Dororidoro, and for everybody in the Hidden Weave Village, he voices Mikey Kun from Tokyo Revengers. So, to say the least, this is a great episode. We're just going to jump right into it after this. Hope you guys enjoy. Leave us a couple stars and a review and what you thought about the episode on the YouTube comments for the audio or podcast review for whatever podcast service you're listening to this on. And thanks. Hope you enjoyed the interview. All right. What's up, everybody? This is episode 48. Wow. Of The Safe Point. I'm one of your hosts, Mondo. Chocolate the Mangu. I'm joined by Alyssa Rosa. How you doing, Alyssa?
I'm good. How are you?
Awesome. And we're also joined by, on this special episode, by a voice actor who might voice some of your favorite characters. I know some of the favorite characters in our circle, so people are going to be really hyped about this episode. But we have the pleasure of having Alex Lee on The Safe Point today. What's up, Alex? How are you?
Hey, I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no, thank you for joining us. I'm going to let Alex introduce himself really quickly before we dive into some of the characters he portrays and just a background of voice acting. But Alex, give us a little bit about your background and, you know, how you got into voice acting overall, how your interests led you here.
Sure. Hi, my name is Alex Lee. I'm a voice actor based in Los Angeles. I've been here in California for about 3 years now. And initially when I started, this was just a hobby of mine, but once I kind of fell into the art and, you know, fell in love with the craft, I decided to take a more full-time approach and move over here. And it's been great. I've met some amazing people since entering the industry, and I couldn't have asked for a better situation in general, you know. So very lucky to be here, very happy to be here, and yeah.
Cool. You can take it, Alyssa.
So some of the big characters you voice are like Zenitsu from Demon Slayer, Tokyo Revengers from Mikey from Tokyo Revengers, sorry, Kamen from Dorohedoro. You know, out of all of these huge obviously anime, I mean, to add on to that, if anyone really needs me to, he voices Akira from Astral Chain. He's gonna be in the latest God of War game. He's in Final Fantasy VII Remake. Out of all of them, what was the most life-changing for you? Like, what pivoted your career, do you think?
Demon Slayer, 100% for sure. Usually, I feel like a lot of people would have trouble nailing down a certain role, but for me, this was 100%, you know, the role that changed everything. And at the time, I really didn't realize that it was going to be like that. I remember seeing the show Demon Slayer. I was like, wow, this show looks really cool. I hope I get it. If not, oh well. But now I'm like, oh my God, thank God I got it. If not, you know, but it's been quite a journey. Demon Slayer itself has opened up so many doors for me as an actor and given me so much space to play and show myself off and what I can do. And I feel like getting that opportunity, that rare opportunity to really show off your talents and you know, portray this character in a way for a mass audience, not something a lot of actors get to do. And I feel like getting that opportunity was probably one of the biggest factors in me not only exploring myself as an artist, but also getting introduced to the world, the directors, and to the fans and everybody. So that was for sure the thing that launched my career, you know, fully off the ground.
Cool. And actually, I guess talking about, like, you know, things that are kind of boosting careers and stuff, I know that kind of the argument in the anime world has always been, oh, sub versus dubbed. And I know a lot of your work is, most of your work is English dub. Have you noticed the growing popularity and people shifting over to English dubbed voice acting, where I guess some would argue maybe the quality is better? I don't know if that's because maybe studios are more willing to spend money here because they see that this medium is growing in the West. Is that something that you've noticed yourself?
Recording in progress.
For me, definitely, I noticed that the popularity of dubs have seemed to have increased. But personally, I feel like the demand for it has always been there. But now that everything is online and more accessible and more shows are able to come to the West much sooner, I feel like the demand has also caught up with it. Back in the day, like, a show would get to the U.S. and it would take like 2-3 years for it to get dubbed. Now a show is able to get to the U.S. immediately, like the week after it airs. And, you know, now the demand is like much more immediate, and companies are dubbing shows 1 week later. It's kind of crazy with the schedule that everybody's running with. I guess my take on it is that the more the audience grows and the more accessible the media becomes, the bigger the demand is for that sort of thing. And dub and sub, you know, both, it just shows that anime is growing immensely as a medium. I noticed that when I was in New York Comic Con a couple weeks back, that it was dominated by anime.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
all of the comic stuff, all of the celebrity live action stuff had nothing on anime fans. And I just found that to be so bizarre, because usually you expect to see that from like anime conventions. But nowadays, I feel like the medium has just been growing so fast, and it just hasn't stopped. So,
we were at New York Comic Con too, and I think that was something that we took away from it as well. It felt like there was a lot of anime presence in general. Obviously, more Demon Slayer, My Hero Academia focus. I think us and our group of friends were the only ones that dressed up as some of the Manji gang from Tokyo Revengers.
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting as well, because you're so used to seeing superheroes and things like that, but to a lot of us, these are superheroes, you know? But I have to ask this question, just because in our group, everyone truly, truly loves Mikey. What is it like to play the king himself, you know, Mikey?
Let us know.
Yeah, the badass, the coolest character, the sweetest, but also like the hardest character.
I am very grateful to have gotten that role, because when I read for Tokyo Revengers, I also auditioned for Takemichi. Initially I auditioned for him. I didn't get him, and they were like, do you want to read for this other guy? I'm like, sure. But ultimately I found myself to relate a lot more to Mikey. Not his strength, I'm not strong at all, probably. never tested it, probably shouldn't. But I find myself relating to his worldview a lot, in terms of how he views his friend, how he cherishes like the people close to him, and most importantly his like, you know, his attitude toward life, where he's just like, okay, another day has passed, cool, time to do tomorrow. So to voice a character like that, it's not often that I get to dial it back and be somebody I'm a bit more familiar with, because usually when I voice Zenitsu, I kind of go to the end of the spectrum where I'm screaming my head off. Or if I voice somebody from like Dorohedoro, Kaiman, I'm like, okay, here's some crazy guy who's killing people. But then with Mikey, it's just like, I think he's just a dude. He's a little bit messed up in the head, but he's just a dude who enjoys protecting his friends and having a good time. And it's always fun to go to those places where it's like, oh, I can do that. I can relate to that. I see what he's doing. And seeing him in action is always really cool. But I also love all of his comedic aspects. I think he's just a really neat character all around. And it's been crazy because I didn't expect the show to take off so much. But last time I was at a convention, a bunch of people dressed as him came up to me. And I was like, whoa, I didn't realize that Mikey was, you know, the talk of the town. All right.
Equally as much probably as the many of your characters that you play too, which is amazing.
Demon Slayer had taken over that 2019 New York Comic Con that we had gone to.
Yeah, they were all
Demon Slayer all up in there. But it's funny you talk about, like, you know, how layered his character is. Is there a character that you feel like most is, I guess, reflects you more, I guess, not necessarily in a one-to-one sense, but that has characteristics that you're like, oh wow, this character has a lot in me. Like you said, Mikey, is it Mikey or is it another character that you've portrayed?
Yeah, a lot of the characters I've portrayed usually have the same theme now that we're looking back on it, and now that you brought it up, I'm like, a lot of them are kind of the same in certain ways, where it's like the core of the character is that I have a few friends that I really adore and I really cherish and I really want to protect, but I'm also fucked up, insane, crazy in the head. notice that with basically almost all of my characters. So I feel like, yeah, maybe we do have a little bit of a theme going on there. But I feel like realistically out of everybody, Mikey has probably come the closest to you know, who I relate to. Again, the only aspect is his murderous intent. I am not a murderer. His crazy strength. I wish. Yeah. But a lot of these characters don't really have that much of a mundane life. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of hard to find yourself within their shoes. But there comes times when you find certain characters and you're like, oh, he's kind of like me. So...
Are there any, like, because when I was on your website, I was looking in it, the way that you describe yourself is that, you know, your cultural influences, you know, really is what helps you flourish these characters. Is there anything specific about your culture that, like, really truly speaks to the characters that you play at all, or?
For me, my upbringing definitely plays into a lot of my roles, and my worldview definitely changes how I portray certain characters. I don't think it's necessarily the culture that has aided me so much in my journey. It's more so my upbringing. I was raised in Asia, and I basically lived the beginning of my life in poverty. So to make that transition to becoming like a US citizen and then, you know, going to school and then learning, and I feel like it's really changed my character and pushed me to the point where it feels like I have a lot more insight on certain aspects of life. And I feel like when we portray characters who go through poverty or trauma or something very, very, it's like a very outsider experience. I feel like I have a lot of specialty when it comes to tapping into that mindset of certain characters who have gone through a great deal, and I'm making it too dramatic, but basically I feel like just having a lot of that experience really helps with, you know, bringing your own flavor to certain types of characters. I like to describe myself recently as portraying a lot of trauma core characters, a lot of characters who have gone through trauma or immense pain and great deals of, you know, situations that have hardened them or made them weird. And then everybody's like, why is he like that? And they're just like, oh, maybe there's something wrong with him. And, you know, the character's just like, yeah, that's right. But I'm trying my best. So, you know, today has been a very eye-opening. I'm just like, oh, shit. Everything does line up, huh?
I mean, the artwork is often reflective of the artist.
That's true.
Yeah. True.
And there's nothing wrong with that, you know? Like, that's how artists pour it out. Everyone really, if they get into
it. And it's very
art.
Relatable, too.
Yeah.
Especially for us, at least. We relate to your characters just as much as you do. So it's good to know.
For sure. And play, I guess, having played a whole bunch of a plethora of characters that you identify with, that you see yourself in, is there a kind of character that you want to play, or a dream character that you're like, nah, I really want to be this kind of badass. Like, this is, because you do have range, you know, you know, if you think Mikey, you think Zenitsu, even Akira from Astral Chain, which I want to get into that in a little bit in a second. Like, those have like the same tone level, but then you get to Doroidoro and even Sonin from Final Fantasy VII. Like, they have much deeper, and you know, like, you gotta get it from a different place. Is there a character that you're looking to play?
I've always wanted to. I think this is a lot of voice actors or like actors' dream is to lead a AAA title, and be a leading character in like a AAA video game. And I've always found that to that's always been my goal since like day one. Is to do something like that. I really love mocap. I love the art of acting it out with your full body and being in front of a camera, not necessarily being on camera, but you know, just acting with a partner, acting in front of a crew, you know, doing a whole scene all together as opposed to just taking stuff line by line, which is what most video games are. So that really is kind of my end goal here. But in terms of like the character I want to play, heroes are always fun, and playing a like, you know, a gray hero has always been on my mind, where it's morally ambiguous, where the character has a lot more going to him than just I'm gonna be good and do this. I love complex characters, and I love playing apparently messed up people. So I feel like it would just be great to expand further and, you know, see myself in that role maybe in the future. And or Spider-Man. I love Spider-Man. Completely unrelated, but I love Spider-Man.
I'm here for
Hey,
it.
speak it into existence.
Yes, please do, because I
Words
am
of
here for it.
affirmation.
Is there a role that has been the most challenging for you at all? It could be across anything. I'm gonna assume who I think it is based off of like the stress on the vocal cords. But honestly, like to tap into, to voice, is there anyone that's super hard?
It's usually the characters that are out there the most. I feel like, again, like I said earlier, to tap into like a lot of these mindsets aren't too difficult for me because I'm just like, oh, I'm also insane. I can go there right now. But vocally, Kaiman has definitely been one of the hardest characters to play. With Zenitsu, I can just scream with anywhere in my body. I can scream with my stomach, I can scream with my chest, I can scream with my head, and I can probably sustain that for like 4 hours at a time. And I know because we just did the Demon Slayer game, and they had me doing redoing all the scenes from the anime in like 4 hour chunks every day, and I was like, wow, okay. But with Kaiman, it's not only that I'm like lowering my voice, I'm also adding a lot of texture to it. And at the same time, when you do that stuff, usually when you lower your voice and you add texture to it, you kind of soften your voice up so it sounds clearer and more warm and bassy. But with Kaiman, I have to scream with my chest while my voice is lowered and while their texture is on. So it's like a combination of three vocal things happening at once, and it's crazy. And with Kaiman, not only does he speak with a deep voice, when he screams, it's a high-pitched voice, but it still has texture to it. So it's like speaking with a deep voice, screaming with a high-pitched slash low-pitched voice. It's very crazy to figure out how that voice works. But the seiyuu for it is, I believe, Wataru Takagi, and he's basically he sounds insane. He has one of the best voices in the world, and I was just trying very hard to stay true to his interpretation of the character. But oh boy, I remember recording for that character, and it would just be like we would break it up into 2 hours every day, because every time I would do like 1 hour, I'm like, and it was basically impossible to go for more than 30 minutes without taking a break. but that was for sure the hardest one for me to do.
Okay. And speaking about how, I guess, stressful, the vocal cords are like a muscle, like anything. So, like, have you noticed over the years that you've been able to do longer sessions, or like, do you feel like you've kind of reached your peak? Like those 4 hours, are like, I can give you 4 hours of some characters, and or more hours of others, depending on how stressful it is to the voice.
I have noticed that I've gotten a lot better at controlling my voice in general. Prior to doing Durohedoro, I was not able to do, you know, any deep voice characters at all because I had no control over my vocal range. But I feel like doing Kaiman has kind of beaten it into me. Mm-hmm. And so, like, doing that show helped me do Final Fantasy VII because I took everything I learned from that show and I applied it to the game. And I feel like I've generally grown a lot in terms of my vocal strength. But back in, I believe it was early 2020, I got into a car accident that just destroyed me. And it took me a lot of time to fully recover. And though I've recovered, I feel like I still miss some of the stuff about what I used to sound like. Because mm-hmm. I'm almost back, but I'm missing some stuff that used to be there. It's a little bit hard to explain. But yeah, I do think I've grown, but at the same time, I'm not the same. So it's a little bit weird.
I'm so sorry to hear that, actually. Yeah. I didn't know that, and I'm sorry. Hug for that one.
It was a weird time, but I left relatively unscathed. The only thing was that it was like, you know, it sucked that my car was gone, but
yeah, of course, but at least you're here and you're able to still at least try to be yourself, you know. Mm-hmm. And I hope you get the 100% back, you know. Plus Ultra, hate to be the My Hero person here, but Plus Ultra. Mondo, literally, you want to ask him about Astral Chain, and I really want you to.
So I played Astral Chain, but I played as the male version of Akira. So the character doesn't speak. The only character that speaks is the sibling that you're not playing as. And so if I didn't get to hear your voice throughout the game, I watched the video and I'm like, oh wow, this is interesting, kind of like hearing it from the male perspective. And I was just wondering, is that something you've come across before or see often where you're just portraying that one side and like you're not doing the main characters? And like, was that an artistic decision to not have the main character speak?
I believe that it's a very popular trope in Japan, especially with like JRPGs and games of those types, mm-hmm. where they want the player to basically put themselves in the heart of the story and as much as they can. Yeah. For this game, I found it particularly interesting because I don't believe I've seen any other titles take that approach before. But I thought it was a really cool idea to have, you know, a twin brother or twin sister, and whichever gender you chose to be, your sibling would be the one of opposite gender. I found mm-hmm. that to be pretty interesting because it had both me and the other actress give our own interpretation on the story and the script, because the script was mostly the same, but we definitely went different places with it. I can't say I've seen that done anywhere else, but I am working on something not Astral Chain related that is kind of have that same mechanic where it's like two characters, you play as one and then you don't hear the other one. Okay. But I feel like it's a very common Japanese thing to want the character to be a silent protagonist. That way the player can insert themselves as much as possible into that role. I just thought it was cool that they had, you know, two actors. They were paying two actors.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, epic.
That's cool. And to your point, you both did take it in different directions. That's why I thought it was interesting, like watching a quick YouTube video of what your performance was, because mm-hmm. I remember the game. I beat it just a few months ago. And yeah, it was one of the first games I got, but it took me a long time to get back to it and beat it. The backlog is huge. But You guys did take it different approaches, and I did suspect it is because, you know, giving the character a voice immediately means that the character isn't you and that the character is someone else. And I always did feel like that was like kind of like an immersion thing. So I thought I had that question. That was interesting.
Yeah, it kind of is in a lot of like scenarios, but personally for me, I don't mind stepping into the role of another character because I kind of find that to be a fun point in gaming where you get to be a bystander and just step into someone else's shoes and see what it's like for them. But I do understand because it's a JRPG and a lot of the general Japanese audience loves, you know, the concept of like, you know, I know isekai is such a popular concept where it's you inserting yourself into a video game. So I feel like that has always been there. And so a lot of games over there utilize that mechanic, like, you know, when you play Pokemon and then you can be whichever gender you want to be, or you play certain RPG titles and you can customize your character. So it really depends on the type of game. But for this action title, I found it interesting because a lot of other action titles like Bayonetta, Devil May Cry, or like Metal Gear Solid Rising, you're playing as a different character. Yeah. But this was a unique approach where it's like, okay, you're playing as a badass, super awesome character, but it's you. I can see the selling point. So,
yeah, no, and you're right. Cause I mean, now that you're saying that out loud, I'm thinking about it. Final Fantasy VII, like one of my favorite games, Cloud doesn't speak in that game. And it is a popular Japanese thing. All right, cool. Thanks for that. I was wondering about that.
I was wondering, I mean, it's clear to me that you're a gamer, but what is like your favorite genre of gaming and like, what are you playing lately?
My favorite genre of gaming is, I used to be a big gamer, but then I stopped for a very long time. But the year that God of War came out, I was like, I'm going to save up enough money to buy a PS4. So I did that and I bought God of War. I loved it. I played Spider-Man next. I love that too. And then I played Uncharted. I just really enjoyed like the third person open world, not necessarily open world, but third person action adventure type game with a really strong narrative. I love those the most. And people can call me cliche, but a good story is my favorite thing, you know, in a video game. Because that's what games are, another medium to tell stories. And the gameplay in those games, it's not like they were bad. They were amazing. So I really have a soft spot for those type of games. As of recently, one of the titles I finished as of late was Deathloop. I really, really enjoyed that game.
Awesome.
Talking about voice acting, great performances.
Oh my god, yes.
Probably some of the best voice acting I've heard in video games lately. So good. And it's so strange because I'm not familiar with the actors. So when I heard them, I was like, whoa, who is this? They're so good. Great game. I love that game. Here's something I must admit though. One, I'm not a fan of shooters. I never have been first person shooters. Two, I'm not a fan of battle royale. And three, I'm not very competitive when it comes to like video games. But for some reason, I decided to pick up Apex Legends last year.
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. I have been addicted. I checked my log yesterday, and it turns out I've put in over 1,100 hours into that game.
Mondo like, can relate.
Not that many, but I can relate.
I can't believe this is the game I've played the most in my entire life. I've never put in over 1,000 hours into any games before. I'm like, why is it the game with all the things I hate that I just can't get enough of? But yeah, that is definitely my most frequent game and my guilty pleasure is Apex Legends. Plus, it's fun. It's just so much fun, you know? It's a good way to de-stress when you get home from a long day of work. So,
yeah, very much so. Very much so. Mondo can relate on that one. I'm not an Apex player, but he can relate.
Season 11 is coming. I can't wait. Tuesday can't come soon enough.
It's Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Enjoy the weekend, you know?
Clear my schedule.
Yeah, clear the schedule. I covered all the questions I wanted to ask. Do you have anything else to ask?
You did say, you know, you talked about God of War. I know you can't say much about Ragnarok at all, but like, what does it feel like to, I mean, cause you said your goal was to lead a AAA game. What does it feel like to actually be a part of something very huge? Not, I mean, you have Final Fantasy VII Remake under your belt as well. Like, that's a huge AAA game as well.
That ending scene, man.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. What does it feel like to be a part of these huge projects? I'm sure you'll get to be the lead someday. Trust me.
It's absolutely surreal. It's like, it feels like a very full circle moment whenever I get to do one of these things. Because every big title that I work on, I'm like, holy shit, I played that. Or holy shit, I used to watch that and this and that. And with God of War, I got to give credit to the team. They are such incredible people, and the fact that they allowed all of the actors to announce on the day the trailer release is wild. That is something that's basically like, people don't do that at all in the gaming industry, and I feel like people should, because you know, you never know what's going to happen the next day. Why not let actors enjoy, you know, being a part of something now so they can celebrate with the fans? I've always thought that it was weird that you can't announce on most things until the day the game comes out. And I'm like, look, when a movie gets made, the stars get announced before a director is even chosen. So very, very grateful for the team to have brought me on, and then for them to be so public and celebrating their actors in full. I just thought that was a really cool thing. And being a part of these projects are always amazing. I'm always like, no matter how small the role or no matter how minor the character, I'm just like, holy shit, I'm getting to be a part of history. And that is just a feeling that I still can't wrap my head around, no matter how hard I try. So surreal is the word I will always come back to when it comes to that. I'm just very grateful and very, very excited to see the final product, as always.
We are too.
I actually have a question now, off of what you said. So you said that like, it's not, that's not a norm in the gaming industry. Do you feel like that might be because voice acting is really only about 20 years old in like in gaming? Because just because before that, everything was just scripted on the screen. Do you think now that not only is voice acting a norm now, like for games to not have voice acting is probably because it's an indie game or it doesn't have the budget for that. I don't know. I guess it is. Do you think that's because the industry is now getting into that? Like, we're getting really great performances from games, like you said, Deathloop. I played Hades earlier this year, and that had some of the best voice acting I'd ever heard in a game.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so like they're putting more budget into that, and like, and now you have really big titles like God of War saying, look, this game is great, but this game is also great because of the characters that, you know, make up this world that we created.
I think it has, it's partially to do with the fact that voice acting is still a new kind of industry that's just beginning to blossom. But I also feel like there was some kind of some unsaid precedent that was set a long time ago, and everybody just kind of followed it for whatever reason, because a video game voice acting used to not be, you know, like you said, it used to not be that important until only recently. So I feel like it was never a priority to highlight those talents and bring their names to the front. And so I feel like for whatever reason, there's this unnamed rule where it's like, oh, we're working on a game. Nobody's allowed to talk about it until now. But I'm glad to see a lot more studios now, especially big AAA studios, again, like Sony Santa Monica, that are like, hey, this game, like you said, is great because of our characters and meet the people behind our characters. I always thought it was frustrating that a lot of actors aren't allowed to say anything about a project they're in until it comes out. I get that there might be some kind of conflict where like the actor might get replaced or the story might change, but I'm like, there's always scenarios like that with movies as well. And when they happen, they just release a statement. Just like how when games get delayed, they release a statement. So I feel like there's a lot of pressure on voice actors for whatever reason. And one of the recent examples that kind of made me frustrated was that I probably shouldn't go into specifics, but I'm just thinking of scenarios where it was too late for the actor to celebrate, or by the time the product came out, it was too late for them to celebrate. And I'm like, man, if only they were able to feel this celebration for the fans before, and if only they got to kind of take it in and really celebrate with everybody. Because it's always like, great, the game's out now. Maybe the people won't talk about it in like the next month, and the actors are finally now getting to talk about it, and everybody's too focused on playing the game to care about it. Mm-hmm. And I know that it's not a lot of people's priorities, but when you work really hard on something, it's always nice to be at least acknowledged, you know. With Astral Chain, you know, it was awesome to see them have an opening anime opening with like everybody's names on it. Some games don't even credit the actors for what characters they play. They just have like a list of the actor names. So it's always amazing to see companies take that extra step and be like, hey, look, these are the people who did the characters. I'm just a big pusher for more visibility in the industry, because I feel like it's an untapped market for the most part still. And there's so much we could do with everybody's talents and you know, the social space that we're all residing in. Because voice actors are, I hate to say it, but voice actors are kind of a big deal nowadays. And I feel like there's a lot of market for fun content with voice actors, or mm-hmm. or, you know, panels and all these amazing things that give a bigger insight into the game and the writing and all that stuff. So I feel like it's a missed opportunity, but I'm glad to see more people taking that approach to finally utilize their talented cast in as many ways as possible to promote the games, because we love the games. Honestly, if the developers went up to us and was like, do you want to promote the game? Sorry, we don't have any money. We'd be like, sure, we'll promote the game for free just because we love you. So I feel like you can't really go wrong when it comes to that sort of thing. So I just hope it becomes more, you know, it becomes more open in the future.
Yeah, no, and hopefully moves like that are setting new standards and stuff. And to your point, voice actors are a big deal. And you know they're a big deal because I see more people today than ever say, hey, I'm interested in being a voice actor, you know? Like, mm-hmm. and that stemmed from people realizing like there's quality behind the voices to their favorite characters. Yeah, cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's become a bit more of a scene profession now, and I'm glad that new generation of creatives are looking at it as like an outlet to pour their creativity into. It's definitely a worthwhile pursuit if you have the heart for it.
Yeah. Well, we could agree, definitely. 100%. I feel like that's really it, right? Do you have any more questions at all?
No, we got more. I know. This was great.
Yeah, we did. This is a great episode.
As we were telling all our friends, we were like, you can't wait till you know who this person voices. Because again, like we went to New York Comic Con as the Manji Gang. So like, they're just huge on Mikey and stuff.
Yeah.
And Zinni Tutu and stuff. And so it's cool. And this was a great opportunity. It was awesome to have you on. Shout out to Alyssa for reeling you in.
Shout out to my sister for having cool friends.
It's usually very busy to find time to do podcasts and stuff. And I don't like to do a lot of appearances on podcasts unless I know the people on there. So it's nice, you know, after doing it, it's nice every now and then to come on and tell some fun stories here and there, because I don't really get to talk about these things a lot, so it's always fun to share my perspective. So thank you for having me on. It was really nice being here.
No,
thank you for coming on. Yeah,
you use that voice to make money too. You know, you can't just be using it all the time.
Yeah. We're honored, honestly. Yeah. But before we do go, we want you to promote yourself as much as you can. Tell people where they can follow you and where they can watch you, because technically Demon Slayer season 2 is coming, so you might as well just
That's true. You can follow me and my shenanigans on Twitter at Alex Levio. That's AlexLevio. And my Twitch is twitch.tv/AlexLevio. I will be streaming the Demon Slayer game sometime soon, depending on when this comes out. I might or might have not lied and got too lazy to do it. But my YouTube is youtube.com/AlexLee. And yeah, that's about where you can find me. I like to post whatever. I have no more standards for what content I post. So yeah, that's hope to see you there. I'm going to be tweeting a lot about McRibs this week. So
they did announce that it's coming back.
Yeah. Oh goodness.
I bought two last night.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
I have an issue. Mm-hmm. All right.
Well, thanks, thank Alex. You so much. Appreciate it.
Because you can also...
I want to record this. You could also, no, I was gonna just jump right into it. I closed that out like super awkwardly. I don't know why I did that. Like I felt like the conversation was ending. He was just gonna get off Zoom. But I feel like in his head, he was like, oh, he started off with like an intro. We were kind of going to like segue out in the same way. But anyways, if you're listening to this right now, y'all, I hope y'all enjoyed the episode we just had with Alex Lee. Shout out to Alyssa, who made that happen. Like she's modest, you know what I mean? Baby boss out there doing
baby.
The thing.
I am the baby boss here. I'm trying my best. I just booked talent, y'all. That's it.
Yeah. But no, it was a cool episode.
Yeah.
It was really awesome hearing his perspective on like just some things about like the industry, like what he thought about like voice actors not like getting proper dues and stuff like that, mm-hmm. like having to wait to talk about the work they're doing and how that affects their career, you know what I mean?
For sure.
Ultimately. I thought that was some cool conversation. That was cool.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, we got to meet Mikey Kun. You know what I mean?
We got to meet Mikey Kun. Yeah. And if you're a Zenitsu fan, we got to meet Zenitsu.
No. God. Can't wait.
So cool.
Can't wait for season two to come back.
Well, technically it is kind of back, but yeah.
Yeah. But yeah. Y'all, that was episode 48 of The Safe Point.
Yeah.
We are two episodes away from the milestone we wanted to hit for the end of the year, which was 50. We're gonna hit that. We're gonna hit that and blow it out of the park. Yes. So tune in for that one because that one's gonna be a good episode. Yeah. I'm Mondo. That's Alyssa.
You know?
This is The Safe Point. You have a wonderful day, afternoon, evening, weekend, weekday, whenever it is you're listening to this. And we will talk to you on the other side.
One. Like, why did we start that?